Let me welcome the CEO of RTS, who's gracious with his time and has been patient. No easy transition, but Bill, thank you for being here. How are you?
Oh, Evan, I'm doing great. Thank you very much, and appreciate the president-elect bringing all these listeners to the show for me.
Yeah, I think you've got the biggest possible audience. Listeners, we invited the CEO of RTS to the program, as we do around this time of year every year, just to kind of get an update on what RTS is doing when it comes to plans for ridership, access to transportation. As you know, 1 week ago, we had a conversation on this program about the intersection of transportation and poverty. We'll have plenty of opportunity to talk about, some of your questions as well. You can call the program if you've got any questions for the CEO of RTS. It's 844-295-TALK. That's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. It's 263-9994. Now, what Bill wants to kind of talk about is a lot of what I'd like to talk about, which is, you know, sort of what the future holds for RTS, what's still coming, access for people with disabilities, the questions on the intersection of poverty, routes, et cetera. But we'll try to cover a lot of ground. What's number one on your list, Bill, in terms of the first priority for 2017 for RTS?
Well, I think, Evan, the most important thing that I ask my team on campus to recognize is what an exciting time it is for people with transportation options. We've got hybrid and electric vehicles for people to choose from, autonomous vehicles and semi-autonomous vehicles coming down the line. Rideshare services, it nearly became legal the end of December, and I expect the governor and legislature will pass in the next few months. Vanpool services. We've got bike and pedestrian infrastructure being built. I go back 10 or 12 years. 10 years ago, we're celebrating the iPhone being birthed. 12 years ago, Facebook was birthed. And you think of how people get and share information today compared with that time period and the massive changes in how people's behaviors have changed. And I think we're at that same dynamic with transportation options. And at RTS, we've built a great foundation with the Transit Center. We're becoming a friendlier, better listener to the community and customizing products so that we can serve our regular customers better and be prepared to serve those in poverty, those with disabilities, those that want more choices through RTS.
By the way, you briefly mentioned ride sharing, and Governor Cuomo is obviously pushing for it. Any doubt in your mind that we're going to see it sooner than later?
You know, when reporters show up at the Buffalo airport, my peer tells me, they say, you know, you're the only NFL city without ride sharing. I do think we need to get together with, and they're counting Mexico City as an NFL city these days. So I do think we'll see it, and I think it's a great option to have with good public transit like we have at RTS. For people, when the bus works, that's great. When the bus becomes a constraint, right now the other choice is I have to own a car. And once you have ride-sharing services, it can be the bus, it can be ride-sharing. And I think we'll see an expansion of vanpool services over time as well in our community.
Okay, so vanpooling is something that, again, I think for our audience, it's good to do some definitions here. And we heard last week about hundreds of people coming out to the city of Rochester hosting a chance for people who want to work out at Lago, for example, and who want to get a chance to get out there, maybe don't have their own kind of transportation. And the city of Rochester said they expected a lot of interest. They got even more than they expected. Tell me about vanpooling. Tell me about some of these sort of expanded options that you're working on.
So I'll touch on vanpool because it is an important option for some people where RTS's service, because there's not good population density and not good destination density at the same times, we don't want to put a 40-foot bus out there. We're going to put it where the highest demand is. So vanpool is where the city has chosen a company called V-Ride. I think they're the largest in the country doing this. They provide the vehicle. They provide training for one of the people in the van to be the driver. They then drive the vehicle. Others pay to be picked up. The city has set the rate at $75 a person. And then there's a common departure time. They go to a common destination. There's a common departure time from that destination, and they go back home. RTS looked at that. Our board asked us to study it. And for us to get into it a big way would be hundreds of thousands of dollars for us to develop the software, the staffing. So V-Ride is showing, can it work in our community? And we'll know in the next 6 months or so, are there people Are there shifts? So as an example, at Del Lago, if they all work 7 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, that's great. But if after a couple months some people start working 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., well, now does the van work for everyone? Those are the things we want to investigate. The city's doing a pilot. We're working with them on logistics, partnering with them, and I hope it can be a great option for our community.
Yeah, I think this recalls some of the chicken and egg conversation we had last week about poverty, about routes, about serving people. You know, and I say chicken and egg where, you know, as an example, we raised this idea of someone who lives in the Beechwood neighborhood working out at Marketplace Mall and how taking the bus can take more than an hour because of connections and what time buses depart and arrive. And we heard from a couple of listeners who said, well, shouldn't there be more of a pooled approach? You know, can't there be a sort of a board and a listing? Can't employers do that, saying if you live in certain parts of the city and, you know, you work here or in this neighborhood, we can kind of concentrate that way? And then another caller said, well, until you offer that, no one will use that. So, you know, do you offer that first knowing that it may not get much use, or do you have to wait until there's a need? It's the same kind of question with routes. Do you change routes? Do you add more in one place or less in one place, assuming there will eventually be need, or do you wait until there's need? Can you kind of work me through some of that?
Yeah, that's really why we have a very talented staff at RTS analyzing those questions. So I think the example that was used was a person who needs to be to Marketplace Mall by 9 a.m.
Yep.
They leave, get a bus to the transit center at 7:35. They're taking one of our rocket routes. So a normal bus to Marketplace Mall takes about 40, I'll tell you exactly how long it normally takes, 38 minutes. But we've introduced these, what we call rocket, ROC-IT routes, and it reduces the travel time by 40%. So it's 23 minutes to get out there. And then in the example that was used, but that gets them there earlier than their shift time. So when you take the whole time from when they leave to when they get there, it's a long time. And I would say in a van pool, you would have the same issue that some people are going to start at 8:30 in the morning, some at 9, some at 9:30. You have to kind of lay down some of your personal time. In the bus, I loved working with Megan, who was helping here at WXXI, saying she takes a bus from time to time. She likes it because she gets to work on the bus. She doesn't have to drive. She can be texting, she can be reading, she can get caught up on with friends or news. And so that time spent from Beechwood to the transit center out to Marketplace Mall can be very productive time. So we are working with the Beechwood and Emma, a connected communities neighborhood in Market View Heights, that the city has said, can you put together a pilot? And we've extended our outreach efforts so that as it relates to poverty, as it relates to connections, what is it that would work? And the city's done an extensive study with the residents. What is it that they need? And we're putting together what would the products look like to give them a way to get where they need to go. Going back to the opening premise, and it was mentioned on the show last week, there is a service right now at Genesee Transportation Council that has ride-sharing services. So if someone does have a car and they want to share the costs out to Marketplace Mall, maybe they can't afford the gas themselves, but there is a ride-sharing service. You go to the website. And so that has been in place for several years. Very modest investment. We took a look at that and said there's not a huge demand for this. People need to be trained. It's not just a matter of offering it and people will come. It's a matter of educating, offering it, and then seeing if people will come. And that's a place where we're at right now.
All right, listeners, before I get to some of your questions for Bill Carpenter, the CEO of RTS, I just want to work through a couple more items, and I'll remind you, you can email me. I've got a pile of your emails. You can find me on Twitter at Evan Dawson, and you can call the program toll-free. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. About a year ago now, you were working out a contract with the Rochester City School District. We knew that there was some, a little bit of drama there. And I think from my perspective, I haven't heard much in the last year. Why don't you update us on how things are going with that now?
The City School District, the prior superintendent and ourselves, we came together on a multi-year deal. Recently, I met with the new superintendent, Barbara Dean Williams. She told me when she was in Boston, a primary area of responsibility was transportation. she really gets the business that I'm in. She was responsible for that. She said, you know, I haven't heard a complaint from any parent on transportation since I got here this summer. That's great news because she knows how many complaints can come forward. We're providing many more of the students direct transportation from their home to the school, from school to their home, or from activities to their home. What it's doing is providing downtown streets, which used to be the transfer point for all our buses and for thousands of students throughout the day. Downtown is now a great place for residents and employees to walk the streets, to be redeveloped, and we're seeing that happen. All as a result of the transit center that was opened 2 years ago. We've had over 22 million people go through the transit center. Very busy place. Was looking at our latest customer survey. Highest percentage of people saying the transit center makes a positive difference in my commute. So those changes in infrastructure that we've made with the school district contract that we've made, and another investment that we started this past summer, went live, is our customer relationship management system. So we're taking input from customers, getting it directly to the right departments. Customers and employees that say, hey, I want text alerts. So there's a snowstorm. People who want to know, we're pushing out, yes, this snowstorm is affecting us. Routes are later. Here's where you can get the latest information. So it's much more of a dialogue. We used to talk at the community, here's what we're doing, without good ears or a good way to respond back when they talk to us. That has changed the last few years, and favorably, I think, for the community's experience.
You also spoke very frankly, and I think our listeners appreciated how frank you were about the importance of safety at the transit center. In some of those earlier days, there was a lot you had to work out. How do you feel about the safety and security there now?
Well, my employees know, and anyone who comes to my office, I have monitors of the transit center plane, so I've got a good view of the concourse of the transit center. It was just delightful during the holiday season to see the different school district bands and choirs come in and to watch our customers line up to listen to maybe, hey, I'll take the next bus. I want to hear what these young people have to sing and to say. You're seeing people meet at the transit center. And frankly, for the RTS employees who are listening, I noticed that up until about 15 months ago, you would not see bus operators and others standing in the concourse, because customers didn't feel safe, they didn't feel safe. Now you see bus operators gathered regularly, they're between shifts, and they're just standing on the concourse talking comfortably. They're relaxed, the customers are relaxed. It's become a community gathering place. And oh, by the way, last year we won a national award for the top public works project built in the $25 to $75 million category in the country. So it's something Rochester community, our entire area, can feel very proud of.
We also heard last week from people who have disabilities of various sorts and want to make sure that they can have access. Do you feel that RTS is reaching out to them effectively?
So we've put together an advocacy group that includes Center for Disability Rights as an example. But we're also, when the Transit Center was being built, we worked with the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. What are the size letters, colors, et cetera? There is a huge demand for people with disabilities as far as accessing transportation options. Our ridership has increased 10% over the last 3 years, specific for that community. On a daily basis, our 40 and 60-foot buses have a lift that can be put out so that someone in a wheelchair or walker, someone with mobility limitations, can enter the bus without having to step up. That lift is used 300 times a day, over 100,000 times a year. So is there more demand than we're meeting currently? I would say yes, and I would say that for the person in the Beechwood neighborhood who wants more direct access, for the person who works at a call center at Xerox or Rochester Tech Park. What we're doing is, with constrained funding, is maximizing that for the community, and we provide 50 to 55,000 rides a day. We can't simply make changes for people who have built their life around what we're doing, stop doing that because of a new demand. And we do go to Washington and Albany regularly, where we get the majority of our funding, letting them know the needs of the community and letting them know our community would be better off, those with disability, those in poverty, those that want to make a lifestyle choice around public transportation. It would be better off if our funding provided a better system.
I know you heard Pete Nabosny on the program and probably read some of his work for Reconnect Rochester. He's a researcher with the Center for Governmental Research, and he wrote a six-part series about the intersection of poverty and transportation. And one of his comments that I wanted to get your take on, Bill, is something that, you know, it may not be directly under your influence, but I want to see if you agree with the premise that Pete is laying out here. Because he talked about how important the transit center is for Rochester, how many people go through there, just as you said. And if poverty is going to be alleviated, and we're going to be serving people particularly who don't have cars, who rely on RTS, the development has to sort of follow them where they go, on bus routes and particularly to the transit center. Let's listen to what Pete had to say about that.
We shouldn't be building parking garages next to our most transit-accessible place in the city. And the truth is that that transit center is completely surrounded by surface lots, which is kind of crazy, but also garages. And I understand why, and there's dynamics that go into recruiting employers downtown and new development and things like that, and this desire for parking. But I think we need to be kind of strategic about how we're organizing our area around the transit center and recognizing that that's the most transit-accessible place that we have. And if people could hop off the bus and walk a half a block to work, then that becomes a much more viable opportunity for a lot of people in terms of taking the bus.
All right, Bill, do you agree with that?
I would love to see more employment downtown, absolutely. As long as you've got development being incented for private developers, they're going to go where it maximizes their profit. I co-chair one of the work groups for the Finger Lakes Regional Economic Development Council, and part of my work there has been to raise the visibility of all the infrastructure. Is there good water sewers there, water systems there, road infrastructure, and public transportation infrastructure where development is being done? And I think the Conserve opportunity in Victor, and where they wanted to put 1,000 people in Victor, a parking for 1,000 people. And quietly, we did reach out to some of the key stakeholders there and said, there's not going to be good public transportation at that location. We don't serve it now. We don't have money to serve it in the future. And that quietly went away. Those are the kinds of conversations that Pete mentioned need to be had. And when you get a call center with 1,000 people or 2,000 people, why can't it be at Medley Center where we have it's empty space and we have good systems now? Those are questions we ask, but it's the private developers, and until they can maximize their opportunity, it really needs to become a community-wide conversation. Public transportation is going to serve where those destinations are, and opportunities like this to educate, put that on the checklist. Is this the best location? Can we make it work somewhere else? And I do think we're seeing businesses responding to that. I said at the opening the huge changes that have taken place with phones, Facebook, and how information is shared. And I said transportation will go through that same metamorphosis. I think 10 years from now, the number of people walking and biking and wanting to live in an urban area, it will become important if you want to attract people to have that kind of infrastructure. I don't think we're there right now. We've got a lot of people who have made lifestyle choices today, and it's going to be a difficult transition to that next phase. But you look at communities elsewhere who are a little bit ahead of us, certainly in Europe where they didn't have the opportunity for sprawl. You just can't afford to pay for the public infrastructure that we have sprawled across our community. I think we are going to get more dense, we'll be more successful, and RTS will be a more important component.
Do you think 5 or 10 years from now we'll be sitting here talking and there will be fewer surface lots that Pete talked about near the transit center and more business development there?
I do think that all someone has to do on a Saturday or Sunday is walk downtown and say, why do we have that space in our downtown area? Why can't it be green space? One of the things RTS is working on with the state is we're competing for a grant to put a downtown circulator so that you could have those surface lots a mile outside downtown, have a circulator that picks you up, and then you have a vibrant downtown. Certainly when you go to Chicago and Manhattan, you don't see surface lots. You don't see large parking structures. The urban environment is all about destinations and placemaking. So I think we will see that transition in our time.
Can you describe, every time we talk circulator, I have some listeners who say, wait, what exactly is it? And they haven't seen a circulator. What's it look like? How it works?
Thank you. There's times my wife does that to me as well. You're not at work anymore, honey. You got to explain it to me. So what we're talking about is buses, and what we've asked for is electric buses. It would be specially designed that people would say, hey, that's the cool downtown bus that will get me from the East End to Cornhill, to the new MCC campus at State Street, to the Transit Center, circulating downtown throughout the day and into the evening. When the Park Avenue Festival or the Jazz Festival is going on, we would be circulating to help people get from where they are, where they need to go. So it's a grant we've requested. It's a competitive grant, and we hope to find out soon if we're successful. But we see that as a need when we get the funding. We're not going to stop providing service to someone to add it. We need to get additional funding to be able to offer it.
Okay. Talking to Bill Carpenter, who's the CEO of RTS. I see the phone ringing, and we'll get to those calls in just a moment. You can call the program 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Mike in Rochester called in with a question off air. He says, can we get a shuttle from the Transit Center to the public market on Saturdays?
Well, we have reasonably good service between the public market and the Transit Center. We've worked with the city and the public market in the past on who's going to pay for it. One of the things that we recognize is on Saturdays and Sundays, to make it easy for people to make connections, we run with a certain frequency. So having a 10-minute shuttle between the Transit Center and the public market so that someone gets back to the Transit Center, and we're running buses primarily at the top of the hour, getting back to the Transit Center at 20 minutes after the hour isn't very helpful. So we've got reasonably good service to get you there for the transfer time period. But that is a need not just back to the Transit Center, but throughout the neighborhoods. Beechwood neighborhood, Market View Heights neighborhood, Josanna neighborhood. All those neighborhoods would like, how can we have more frequent service?
Okay, let's go down to Dansville. Hal on the phone. Go ahead, Hal.
It's hard for me to believe, but it was 50 years ago when I was visiting Norway. And in Norway, exurbs have bus service to downtown areas. In this case, what I was asking about is on major arteries like Interstate 390, which I'm coming into Rochester on from the Dansville area, could you have park and ride vans or even buses if the demand from these park and ride areas like in Lakeville that would save either commuters on a regular interval or more frequently than hourly so that people could get in and out without driving solo cars from exurbs? Thank you. That's my question.
Thank you, Hal. Bill?
Thanks, Hal. We do have park and ride service from the Avon area. There's a lot the Department of Transportation allows us to use right on 390 near Rush. We don't service it on an hourly basis because we're not seeing the demand for that. But we talked about Vanpool before, and that's a great example. If the demand was there for tens of people or 20s of people, and a van could be put together to make that work, that would be a great option. Our buses cost nearly $500,000. They get about 3.5 miles to the gallon. So talking about a park and ride from the Dansville or Avon area to downtown Rochester, it's not as inexpensive as a vehicle. And so if the bus isn't going to be full, we take a look at where can we place it so it is full. And great option. We've got to find more cost-effective options when the demand doesn't require a full bus.
Well, Jay says, he writes to us with a little pushback there. He says, I don't want four buses a day to Avon. I want buses every 10 minutes along Monroe Avenue. Bill?
Boy, I love that because we are talking about that conversation at RTS. As we go out 5 years, what should the public transportation look like? Currently, and let's go back 10 years so we don't confuse Uber and Lyft somewhere or Chariot that Ford just bought. But the choices were you had a car or you didn't have a car. And if you didn't have a car, you took the bus because the streets weren't really ready for bikes. Cars weren't ready for bikes. So it was just bifurcated, those two choices. The city's done a very good job under the leadership of the mayors and their departments to get bike infrastructure in place. I think we're seeing wider sidewalks, so there's pedestrian safety. And as you get Uber and Lyft, as you get other options, if our funding remains constrained, should we infrequently go to the outskirts of the community, or should we very frequently stay within a more confined area? And when there's 8 or 10 people that need to get to SUNY Brockport, have a different transportation option than a 40-foot bus. Those are the conversations we're having. I think you'll see us take that out to the community over the next 6, 12, 24 months to say, what if on Lake Avenue and East Henrietta Road we had 10 or 15-minute service? But when we got, say, I'll use a run to Quaid as an example. We've got a bus on St. Paul goes to Somerville, which is where the lake is. Clinton Avenue, it goes to Arundiquite Mall and west to Arundiquite High School. Joseph Seneca goes to Arundiquite Shopping Plaza, not Arundiquite Mall, a shopping plaza. Hudson Avenue goes to the Arundiquite Shopping Plaza, Titus and Ridge. But if you want to get from, north of Arundiquite High School, or if you're near City Hall, very difficult to get to Culver Ridge Plaza. It's not that far away. There's a Wegmans there. There's a shopping plaza. We don't go there. Well, why not? But we've got great service. A Goodman bus goes into town. The Portland bus goes to the hospital and then to Seabreeze. But it's all north-south routes. So what if we changed that so you went more frequently north and south to either Ridge Road or Titus Avenue and then shuttle service within the rest of the town? Is that what we should look like in a Henrietta, in an Arundiquite, in a Penfield Fairport, as opposed to buses that go out, circulate a little bit, but infrequently, hard to build your life around? And if you want to stay in a community, hard to stay in the community without coming downtown the way they're designed currently.
Yeah, when it comes to the bicycles and infrastructure, you talked about 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you might not be ready for that kind of infrastructure. Jay followed up to say that he thought he fears RTS is hostile to bike infrastructure, for example, opposition to Main Street bike lanes downtown. Is that fair or unfair?
It depends on your perspective. I think we were one of the first transit agencies in the country to standardize, not just in Monroe County, but throughout our system, our buses have bike racks. We recognize a partnership, and when I talk to folks at the Rochester Cycling Alliance and others, they say your bus operators have been well-trained. We are bike-friendly. Those are our customers. What we have on East Main Street is a redesign opportunity that the city has put forward, that when we spoke to them, we said, just so we're clear, the transit center is 2 blocks north of Clinton and St. Paul off Main Street, and we have a distribution center for public transportation there. 2,400 times a day, buses turn at those two intersections. A dedicated bike lane would not be safe for the pedestrians crossing the street. It would not be safe for the bicyclists that would have a right-of-way when people are trying to turn north off those streets. Can we find another way? The city's come up with a design that we're satisfied will provide good public transportation accessibility, and we think it's pushing it as far as our community is ready. It may well be able to be redesigned in 3 to 5 years so that the bicycle infrastructure takes up more of the road. But right now, from no infrastructure to a dedicated lane on the south side of the road, and let's all learn how to coexist between our campus on East Main Street and the transit center. I call it a factory line. 181 buses a day leave the factory, go down to the transit center, and then make literally thousands of turns each day. Let's keep that safe for vehicles and for buses and for bicyclists by not creating conflict there.
We had a call last week from a listener who thought maybe the, what do you call the model, spoke and wheel, or what do you call
it? Hub and spoke.
Hub and spoke. Thanks. Maybe wasn't the right model. Here's an email that I want to read that kind of follows up a little on that. Nick writes, he says, I'm a RYP, Rochester Young Professional member, and it feels like RTS is doing a great job. Awesome app, by the way, needs more marketing. which you can touch on if you like. He said, the transit center is beautiful and it feels safe to me. He says, my question is, has there ever been a discussion on a city loop bus that connects across nightlife slash commerce centers like the Public Market, Village Gate, Park Avenue, South Wedge, College Town, etc.? The current spoke and transfer model doesn't get used by young professionals during leisure time. That's from Nick.
I'm hoping the public is hearing this loud and clear. We recognize, you know, if we could close our eyes, open them again, and it's 5 years later, our system is going to need to be very different because of all the options that are being offered out there. And so that type of option, our planning department is listening closely. I do think you will see us, as I said, out in the community saying, what should it look like differently? We are fiscally constrained. The dollar fare covers about 20% of our overall cost. The rest of it comes from taxpayer dollars, from business partnerships, from advertising. But it's not that, well, if you put another bus out there and the bus has people on it, all we do is lose money. It's subsidized service. So we have to be very careful with how much we put out and where it's needed most. And frankly, right now, access to jobs is a high priority. Access to education and health care, high priority. And I'll take Nazareth or SUNY Geneseo and RIT as good examples. Where they want those type of entertainment options, they are working with us to say, okay, on Friday night, can you have a bus, meet at RIT, go to the East End and get them back safely so they don't have to drive their car to Nazareth back and forth. From SUNY Geneseo to the East End, get them back home safely at night. So we do have business partners like that, and I hear the question, and we want to respond to it as our system evolves.
Is the hub-and-spoke model the right one right now?
I often ask people, so if you're trying to get from 12 Corners in Brighton to Lyle and Lake Avenue, how would you go? And I say, well, we'd go down Monroe Avenue to East Main Street down to Lake Avenue. So does that mean you would follow a hub and spoke, or is it just the way the roads are built? And there's not a lot of traffic because of the bridges east and west, north of downtown. And then there's not a lot of collections of starting origination and destinations south of downtown. So we do have, I'll use the 48 as an example. The 48 goes University Avenue, Winton to Elmwood. We get 10, 12, 14 people on average a day on that bus. Dewey Avenue, Lake Avenue, 30 people on day a day per bus trip. So we see a lot more demand on certain streets, and where we do have some of the crosstown routes, we don't see heavy demand. If we did, we would put more. And again, I think if we, you know, Peter last week talked about this almost as if he reads the notes on my desk. Until you have a lot more transfer points, and until you've got regular frequency, having transfer points where you then have to wait 20 or 25 minutes are not going to work. So the system works very well. People are happy with it, and they want something improved, and we're working on that.
All right. Alan writes to us and says, hey, Evan, when it comes to facilitating RTS to the under-income in the community, wasn't this supposed to be Maggie Brooks's job? That's a name we haven't heard come up much. Can you tell us about some of that work, you know, sort of who's responsible in terms of working with sort of the intersection of transportation and poverty and how that's being approached?
Yeah, I appreciate that opportunity to talk about the great work former County Executive Maggie Brooks is doing. So I talked earlier about how we used to talk at the community. And it wasn't that long ago where I would get invited into a conversation the community had had, solving a specific problem, and they would come in and say, oh, and by the way, we have finally met, and all we need you to do is this. And I'd say, legally we can't do it, perhaps. Financially we can't do it. Won't work for us. Someone else should do it. And I came back and said, we need to have people in these conversations as they're happening. So when the Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative started, my chief operating officer, Miguel Velasquez, was asked to be on the steering committee. But there is a transportation policy subgroup. Maggie Brooks chairs that subgroup. The Finger Lakes Regional Economic Development Council has a Pathways to Prosperity work group. We needed to be represented there. Maggie Brooks represents us there. I co-chair the Infrastructure and Transportation work group. So there is a lot of community conversation. We serve on the board. We work with Beechwood in Emma neighborhoods with connected communities. Joy Pacheco has met with about 1,500 individual people, neighborhood groups, listening to what it is we do, how it impacts their lives, and then comes back and says, here's ways that they would benefit from improvements at RTS. We have a whole team of people. Those are all led, Joy Pacheco and others in that group, led by Maggie Brooks, doing a great job. And I think if you talk to the folks that lead the Regional Economic Development Council, that lead the RMAPI efforts, you'd say, yes, RTS is very engaged in these conversations. And it's a big part of why we'll be able to be successful as we change going forward.
All right, more listener questions. One on, light rail and streetcars. How does RTS feel about that?
I was very excited. I did attend the governor's State of the State in Buffalo on Monday. Buffalo has had a light rail system for a long time. They're looking to expand it, and the governor said he's willing to be supportive of it. Light rail, extremely expensive, millions of dollars per mile to build. And I'll say to people, so where would you like it built? And some people say, well, from downtown to Charlotte. Okay, well, that's about $100 million. I don't have $100 million. Well, from downtown to the University of Rochester. Okay, well, why not RIT? Okay, out to RIT. Well, why not to the East End, not just downtown? Okay, and pretty soon you have a $500 million project. And we're talking about $600 million for this area to completely re-energize our economy under photonics. Do I want to say, well, give me a $500 million light rail system? I just think as far as community priorities go, it's not going to happen until someone says, here's $500 million or $1 billion specific for public transportation. Then I would look at them and say, with the poverty we have, shouldn't we be creating jobs?
Your comment on the gas mileage got a couple of emails. A couple of listeners said, wow, 3.5 miles a gallon. That's just the honest truth, right? That's what the buses get.
They weigh 38,000 pounds.
Yeah, they're big vehicles. And Dan writes, 3.5 miles per gallon? Last week, didn't a woman call in and suggest smaller, more frequent public transport vehicles? Seems like an idea worth looking into.
And again, I think over the next five years, you'll see that take place. But if you've got a trained professional bus operator who's making, let's say, $50,000 or $60,000 a year, dealing with 400 or 500 people from the public every day, winter roads, et cetera, what you're talking about is $25 or $30 an hour for the bus operator. So if the vehicle can get 6 miles to the gallon instead of 3.5 miles to the gallon, a little bit of fuel efficiency, but it's really the bus operator that's a common denominator, not in so the smaller vehicles, and then what happens when that smaller vehicle goes somewhere and it's full? Now you need a second vehicle and a second operator. So we do take a look at it, but that smaller bus would need to be in a place where it would never need a second bus or you've lost the fuel savings.
Okay. Sarah says there's no north-south all the way down Winton. Have to go downtown to get to Meridian Parkway Business Center. It's an 8-minute drive or 1 hour by bus, and she says forcing everyone to go downtown to get anywhere would be great if downtown was where the jobs were, but many are in the burbs.
Yeah, I appreciate conversations like that and comments like that because we could put, as an example, that type of service for her on Winton Road, and she would be happy. Number one, where would I take it away from? Because I don't have unlimited funding for it. Number two, the person who lives just as far away south of Meridian Center would say, well, I still have to go downtown. The person who lives in Penfield would say, I still have to go downtown. And Meridian Center is not a collection point like Strong Hospital. We've got about a dozen routes that go to Strong Hospital because there's tens of thousands of employees there. So we do take a look at those types of opportunities. Downtown is still the employment center of the community. It's where the highest concentration of jobs are. We've got great access still to Kodak Park, to Rochester General, to Strong Hospital, Marketplace Mall, the Walmart locations. So the high density, high traffic destinations, we do a good job. And I feel for her and hope that Uber provides a good option if she doesn't want to drive.
Sure. And I would say, Sarah, you know, again, this part of this conversation, a lot of these things link together. Maybe we will see more jobs downtown, and maybe we will see more development near the transit center. But that's all part of it. And Bill doesn't control all of that, but I do appreciate your time, a little bit compressed because of the president-elect today. But thank you for being so gracious with your time, and I hope we'll come back and talk again very soon then.
Thanks, listeners, very much, and thank you all the customers and employees of RTS.
You got it. And that's a lot of people. Bill Carpenter, the CEO of RTS. Let's get our break here at the hour mark and come right back with more Connections next.